This is an oral history interview with Judge Patterson, Judge John Patterson, conducted by Chris Knoll on 3/17/96 at his ranch in Goldville, Alabama. And this interview is going to be mostly about Phenix City and his life and what he's seen in Phenix City about that. And I guess that's our heading.
Well, all right. I'm delighted to participate in this interview and go ahead and start asking the questions.
Okay.
And we'll see what develops.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I guess the first thing that would be good is to get some background. You know, your background, your family's, you know, where you come from and things like that.
Well, I'm a native of Tallapoosa County. I was born on this farm where we are now, in the northern part of Tallapoosa County, in a community called Goldville. In Goldville, was a gold mining town in the old days. In 1840, they discovered gold here. And by 1843, there were 3,000 people lived here in the corporate limits of Goldville. It was incorporated by an act of the legislature that year. And in 1849, though, they discovered gold in California, which was richer. And people left here and went to California. And Goldville became a ghost town. My people came to Goldville about 1889. They came down here from up in Clay County. And so my people have lived here ever since that time. My great-grandfather lived on this place. My grandfather and my father grew up on this place also, and I was born on this place. Now, my parents were school teachers in the early days. My father was the principal of the Clay County High School at Ashland, the Coosa County High School at Rockford, and he taught school in various places in Alabama. My mother also was a school teacher. And up until the time that I was old enough to go to school, I lived with my grandparents here at Goldville. And after I was 6 years old, I would go to wherever my parents were teaching and go to school there during the school year, and then come back here to Goldville to my grandparents' home in the summer. And I did this until I was, I think, a junior in high school. Now, my father studied law while he was teaching, passed the bar exam, and started practicing law in Opelika, Alabama in 1928. Mm-hmm. In 1929, we moved from Opelika, Alabama to Alexander City, where my father practiced law until 1933. In 1933, which was the height of the Depression, people just didn't have any money, and my father had a hard time making a living practicing law in Ellick City, and he heard that there was an opening for a lawyer in Phenix City, which is down in east central Alabama, right on the Chattahoochee River across the river from Columbus, Georgia. At that time, Fort Benning, Georgia was operating there. There were three regiments of troops there, and every 30 days that payroll was dumped into that community. So that community didn't suffer from the Depression like most people did. There was money there circulating. So my father went down there and looked around and found, sure enough, there was a opening for a lawyer there. So he packed all of us up and we moved from Alexander City to Phenix City, Alabama in 1933. And from the very first day he started practicing law in Phenix City, he did well and prospered there. Mm-hmm. I went to grammar school. My first grade was in Rockford, Alabama. I was in the second grade in Opelika, Alabama. And I went on into junior high school in Alexander City, Alabama. And I graduated from high school in 1939 at Central High School in Phenix City, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that sort of is the is how briefly our family wound up in Phenix City. My mother and father both were students that went to Jacksonville University. It was Jacksonville State Teachers College at that time. Mm-hmm. They would teach during the school year and then go to Jacksonville during the summer and further their education so as to get a degree and make more money out of it. The Patterson Hall at Jacksonville University is named after my father. And I cut the ribbon to open the original one, and then about 30 years later went back and they rebuilt, they tore that down and built a new, more modern one, and I went back and cut the ribbon on it. So I have cut the ribbon twice on the same building.
Yeah, that's
Jacksonville.
That's pretty good when you can outlive a building.
That's right. And I told them up there that day that that I would be back to dedicate the third one when the time comes.
I don't think I've had a class in Patterson Hall yet, but I know where it is. But I didn't know anything about the history of it until I met with you. You know, there's probably a lot of people that don't know what you just said it has anything to do with, you know, the Pattersons or know much about us.
When I finished high school in Phenix City in 1939, things, you know, were still not very good economically. I joined the Army when I was 18 years old. I joined the Army and was assigned to a New York outfit, the 5th Field Artillery in the 1st Infantry Division, stationed up on the Canadian border. And so I went north. I'd never really been anywhere before. And I was an enlisted man in the Army for 3 years, went to Officer's Candidate School at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, got a commission in artillery, and then spent 3 years overseas as an officer in the artillery. I was in the North African, Tunisian campaign, the Sicilian, Italian, Southern France, and German campaigns. I spent 3 years in Europe and Africa during the war. I came back after the war and went to the University of Alabama, got me an undergraduate. I didn't get an undergraduate degree, didn't have to have one in those days to go to law school, but I went 2 years as an undergraduate at the University of Alabama and then transferred to law school. And in August of 1949, I graduated from the law school and was admitted to the bar and went back to Phenix City to practice law with my father. Mm-hmm. And I went back and practiced law a while with him, got recalled into the Army during the Korean War, served 2 years during the Korean War, came back, started practicing with my father again. And during this time, he ran for Attorney General. And he ran on a platform to clean up Phenix City. Now, Phenix City, all my life, and as far back as I can recall or know anything about, Phenix City was a wide-open gambling town. It was like a poor man's Las Vegas. There was 25 or 30 gambling casinos, slot machines of all descriptions, was in all the places of business. It was just a wide open place, sort of like Las Vegas, except not as high class as Las Vegas. Prostitution, gambling, drugs were not prevalent in those days, but illegal liquor and some narcotics and things of this kind. And Phenix City was a terrible place, there's no question about that. And it had been that way since as far back as anybody could remember.
Mm, right.
They preyed on the soldiers from Fort Benning, and it was just a place overrun and completely controlled by organized vice and crime. This was not a good place to raise children, and my father and a group of people there decided to do something about it. They tried to get help from Montgomery, couldn't get no help from the governor's office in Montgomery or anybody. Tried to get help from the federal government, couldn't get any help. Everybody said this was a local matter. So My father finally decided that the way to stop this thing was to run for Attorney General. And with the office of Attorney General, you would have the power and the money to clean the place up. And so he ran for Attorney General on that platform. The syndicate there did everything they could to defeat him. They fought him tooth and nail all over the state and tried to steal the election from him. And it was a bitterly fought thing. And 17 days after he was elected, he was elected by 1,400 votes statewide. And 17 days after he's elected, they gunned him down outside of his office in an alley and killed him. Mm-hmm. And there was a hue and cry all over the state to do something about it. There was a tremendous groundswell of support for me to take his place. I had grave misgivings about it and thought about it a long time. And finally, I really didn't have any choice. And finally, I decided that I would run for the position that he had won. The State Democratic Committee called for a special election to elect a Democratic nominee for Attorney General. In those days, you didn't have Republican opposition too much in this state. It was a one-party state. Mm-hmm. So having the Democratic nomination was tantamount to election. They called for the election. I qualified to run. Nobody qualified against me. And so I was elected without having to make the race.
Well, were you worried about the same thing possibly happening to you?
Yeah.
I mean, that would worry.
Actually, my motivation at that time was more of being mad than anything else. I was determined to do something about that thing. I was mad. I wanted to get even with those people.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of help. And when my father was killed, the Governor Persons sent the National Guard in, headed up by General Crack Hanna from Birmingham. They busted up the gambling dens. We got indictments, about 700 indictments.
Mm-hmm.
We sent numerous people to the penitentiary. Many of them fled the state. And in a matter of a few months, the gambling operation and syndicate in Alabama, that area, had been wiped out. I used the Office of Attorney General after that to monitor the elections over there, to keep a close eye on the place, and also to pursue the investigation into the death of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the Attorney General of the state, Silas Garrett, the district attorney from Russell County, where Phenix City is, Arch Farrell, and the chief deputy sheriff, Albert Fuller, were indicted for my father's murder.
Hmm.
The cases were moved to Birmingham for trial. The attorney general of the state fled the state and went and checked into a, or his family checked him into an insane hospital in Galveston, Texas. And he got beyond the reach our reach, and he remained in Texas in that mental hospital until about 10 years.
Mm.
I had served my term as Attorney General, served 4 years as governor, and had been out of office about 2 years when he came back to the state, and shortly after he came back to the state, he died of natural causes.
Mm.
The chief deputy sheriff, who I think was the trigger man, was convicted for the murder of my father and sentenced to life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He served 10 years, was paroled, was injured on a job, came back to Phenix City, got hooked on narcotics, sort of just became a real wretch of a fella, and then ultimately died.
Hmm.
Farrell, the district attorney, was prosecuted in Birmingham. He was acquitted. After he was acquitted, he became an alcoholic. He spent over a year in Bryce's hospital, the insane hospital in Tuscaloosa, and he really went downhill after that. After a number of years, he pulled himself together and ultimately got his law license back and started a law practice again in Phenix City, sort of a low-key practice, real estate practice mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, he died. All of the principals involved in my father's murder and all of the witnesses involved in the case are deceased.
Mm.
As far as I know, there's nobody left
mm-hmm.
that knows anything about that case.
Well, it sounds like they were, I don't know how their life was up to that point, but it seemed like after that point they were convicted in their life. None of them really straightened up, except possibly that Cyrus.
Well,
the attorney general,
Silas Garrett. Well, you see that the conscience,
That's what I mean. Their conscience.
The conscience. You're never acquitted at the bar of your own conscience,
mm-hmm.
they say. And those people had done a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had been a hero of World War I. He had been highly decorated for bravery.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been severely wounded, and as a result of his wound, he was a crippled man. He had to walk with a cane, and one leg was shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. And they mistreated him, no question about it. I was furious about it.
Yeah,
really
I
was.
Can understand that.
And I worked at it for years. I know a lot more about the case today than we did when we tried these people.
Mm-hmm.
I know now where the gun came from that killed him. I know what happened to the gun. These things we didn't have when we prosecuted these people.
Yeah.
If we'd have had the evidence that we have now when we prosecuted these people, I think we would have gotten the death penalty.
Mm.